Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I am your co-host, Ros Picardo.
And I'm your other co-host, Callie Picardo. And today we have with us Greg Atkinson. And Greg is the founder and CEO of Worship Impressions. And he does a variety of church conferences, including one coming soon called the Entrepreneurial Church Conference. He is the co-founder of the Social Media Conference and runs the First Impressions Conference. He's a coach, an entrepreneur, a best-selling author, speaker, leadership guru. And I think, Greg, you do a little bit of everything. And we're so glad to have you here on the Better Together podcast to discuss your new book, The Secret Power of Kindness. Greg, welcome.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to be here.
And today is the big day. So today is launch day.
Yeah.
Today is launch day. Are you exhausted?
I am. I'm not going to lie. I'll be real with y'all. It's been a grueling month leading up to this, but you know, I led the First Impressions Conference. I spoke at the First Impressions Conference. I spoke at a mental health conference. I spoke at a church planners conference about 3 hours away. And then my father-in-law passed away. Oh. And then I've been in nonstop book promotion and book interviews and podcasts and radio and all that goes into, as you guys know, launching a book. So coming into launch day today, I was already tired, but my calendar eases up after launch day and should slow down a little. But it is, as you guys know, it's very emotional launching a book because it's your baby, you know. And this book, I put blood, sweat, and tears in because it's the first time that I've shared my story. My other books were practical leadership books, and I didn't share anything about me. And so this is you know, my publisher, who you guys worked with as well, Lynn Wilson, longtime friend, he said, Greg, it's easy to write a bestseller. It's just bleed on the page. And yeah, that's what I did. It's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to tell my story for the first time. So exhausted, but excited as well. Very excited.
Well, Greg, thank you for taking a little time today to share with us about this book. Will you share with us a little bit of your story for listeners? Give us a little taste and what led to the writing of a book on kindness?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the genesis of it. Several years ago, I saw somebody treat somebody meanly in a public setting and was just really rude to somebody in customer service. And you know, my background is hospitality and hospitality guest services consulting, and I do a lot of stuff with customer service. And I just saw somebody be very rude to a server, and I started thinking about it, and I came up with a book proposal that I shared with my agent for same book, different title, called Don't Be That Guy. And because I was focused on this guy who was so rude. And the subtitle was The Power of Kindness. And then Lynn Wilson and I reconnected after not seeing each other for a couple years. And he flew to my house, met with me, and he had read the proposal. And he said, Greg, he said, I think you need to go all in on this little talked about fruit of the Spirit on kindness. He said, this seems like it's a book about kindness. And so in a brainstorming meeting with our marketing company, the A Group in Nashville, we all together landed on the title, The Secret Power of Kindness. And this book has been about 4 years in the making, 18 months working with Lynn and Invite Press, and 2 years before that, writing the original proposal and thinking through it and chapters and table contents and all that. And so It's been a long journey to get here to release day, but I'm glad to be here.
And this book is a bit unique because at the beginning, you have a few endorsements, not just from some of the well-connected folks that you have networked with in the past, like Mark Batterson and Bob Goff, but some of the most important people in your life. Do you want to share a little about that?
Yeah, the very first page in the book are endorsements from my three adult kids. I have two in college and one in grad school, and they wanted to endorse me. And, you know, when you have adult kids that are brilliant and on academic scholarships, you can't put words in their mouth. You can't tell them what to say. They're all great writers. So they wrote endorsements about me. And then the second page are my three best friends from college who I met 30 years ago in 1993 as a freshman in college. And one of my best friends shared stories from the early 90s of things that he witnessed of my acts of kindness in college. And so these are the people that who have known me the longest and the closest, my three adult kids for 22 years, and then my three best friends of 30 years from college. And so those are very special endorsements.
I love that. I mean, it just speaks a lot when your kids are, and they, you know, you read those endorsements and they're saying, my dad is incredibly kind. He's the most generous person I know. And Greg, I agree. Kindness is so powerful, but it seems so obvious. Why do you call it why is it a secret power?
Well, you know, I did an interview last week because I've been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of podcasts, and the guy interviewing me actually said, you know, I had to look it up. I wasn't sure if kindness was a fruit of the spirit. And so, you know, I joke about it's a little talked about fruit of the spirit. You know, we all know love and patience and things like that. But a lot of times people forget that kindness, which is a lot of people in the world are known for kindness and kind acts and random acts of kindness, whether they have any faith background whatsoever. And, you know, in the book, I talk about Keanu Reeves, who is an atheist, but is known for kindness and acts of kindness. And my challenge to Christian readers is that this is what the church should be known for. This is what Mark Batterson in the foreword calls the church's Trojan horse. This is how we can make a difference in our communities, in the world. I was talking to a nonprofit leader 2 weeks ago, and he does not work with churches. He works with community organizations and nonprofits, and they do a lot of stuff in communities and work with the poor and the homeless and things like that. And he said, Greg, in our world, kindness is a prerequisite. Like, this is where we are gain entry into people's lives to be able to speak to them and share the love of Christ. And I love Mark Batterson. He's such a wordsmith, saying that this is the church's Trojan horse. And so there is a secret power to kindness that people don't realize. I think they will after they read the entire book, which ends with two chapters, one on love and one on unity. But the subtitle, you know, is about unlocking your capacity to change the world. And that is the secret power of kindness, that together we can change the world.
As you were defining kindness, and I'm, you know, just looking through some of these when it comes to rest and self-care, just some of the things that they're tied to that you otherwise wouldn't think of, what is not kindness that people think? What are some misconceptions, would you say, as you were writing this?
Well, you know, it's a lot of people have asked me why I included a chapter on rest, because it's so practical and not necessarily at the surface spiritual, but I think it's deeply spiritual because, you know, God rested and we have a Sabbath, and we've learned from God's example about the importance of rest. And so I've talked with pastors over the years about really taking a Sabbath, because a lot of pastors don't, and taking a sabbatical and taking a vacation and things like that. And so I think the opposite of kindness that you're talking about is a workaholic, somebody who thinks, I'm just going to go, you know, give it all I got and work, and try to make a difference. And there just are not enough hours in the day. And when you run yourself down, when you run yourself ragged, when you compromise on your sleep and do not get enough rest, then you can be short with people. You can be too hard, too blunt, too rude, and you're not going to be very kind. And so I find that myself personally, and I talk about me a lot in this book, when I am well rested, I am able to handle better what comes my way. If I do not get a good night's sleep, then I can be grumpy. I could be short with people who I love and care about. And we're all prone to that. We all have that possibility of having a bad night's sleep, which puts us in a bad mood, and then we're not going to be very kind. So I wanted to include a chapter that's super practical of let's make sure we're getting enough rest.
Greg, I love that, because really it starts with being kind to our own selves, to our own body, right, to taking care of us. And yep, I so often think of kindness as, oh, things I do for others. But you're right. If we're not kind to ourselves, it's really hard to be kind to others when we're at our wits' end, we're at that burnout place.
Yeah, I talk about loving yourself and being kind to yourself in the book. I also cover one of my favorite things, and that is God's kindness towards us. You know, the Bible says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. That verse changed my life. That verse is what's called me home when I stray. It is God's kindness. You know, when no lightning bolt came down and struck me when I acted out or sinned or did something I regretted, it's his kindness that always leads me back. It's his kindness that leads me to repentance. We did the kindness theme at our First Impressions conference in May. And one of the pastors who leads one of the fastest growing churches in the country said they built their whole church when they launched around that key verse, that it was God's kindness that leads people to repentance. And so they wanted to be known for a kind church. And that's where I'm going in my career with coaching and consulting, as coaching organizations on creating kind cultures. I know what it's like, unfortunately, to be a part of a toxic culture and to work in a toxic environment. And so I want to, you know, work with organizations on being kind to their employees, to their staff, to their volunteers. I was just watching something last night and thinking about how volunteers can be treated poorly. And so, yeah, in the book, I cover kindness to yourself, which a lot of people wouldn't think about. They think of acts of kindness towards others. And then I talk about this scriptural, foundational principle of God is kind to us. And so we cover every aspect of kindness.
Greg, how do you handle those that seem to equate kindness with weakness? I don't know if this is something that women get blamed with more, but I see a lot of women, especially who are kind, that people think, well, they couldn't be a leader. They're not tough enough. And sometimes kindness gets equated to weakness. How do you show kindness as a strength?
Well, that's a great, great question. My answer to that, which I have built my 30-year ministry career around, is the Gospels and the model we see from Jesus. Jesus was kind. Jesus was kind towards the woman caught in adultery. He was kind to the woman at the well. He was kind to so many people in his ministry. But I would never think of Jesus as weak. When I think of what Christ went through on the cross, when I think of his whipping, his scourging, his being nailed to a cross, brutal death, he's the strongest man I know. And obviously, when you talk about, you know, one of the best-selling books of all time in Christian leadership is Lead Like Jesus. I mean, we all think of Jesus as an amazing leader. And so that implies strength. However, he was not rude. He was not mean to people. Now, he could speak directly as he called out the religious and the Pharisees. You know, I'm wired the same way. If I need to be direct with somebody, we had a speaker at the First Impressions conference. Again, the theme was on kindness. And she said, clear is kind. In communication, being clear is kind. So I know what it's like. I work with so many contractors and so many people with my business that I have to give very clear instructions that can come across as very direct, but clear is kind. But when it comes to Christ and his model in the four Gospels, Jesus was kind to people who were weak. And that's kind of, you know, Andy Stanley years ago did a message about what to do when you're the most powerful person in the room. Mm-hmm. And then he was talking about the Last Supper and Jesus taking out the towel and bending down on his hand and knees, washing his disciples' feet. And this is what he says Jesus did when he was the most powerful man in the room. So Jesus was the leader. Jesus was the most powerful person there. Jesus was fully God and fully man, yet he was a servant leader and served others. And so you could absolutely be kind and be strong at the same time. But it's a great question.
So why isn't everyone kind? I mean, are there barriers to kindness? You would just think, well, why wouldn't we just all be kind?
You know, I get asked that all the time. My mother-in-law just asked me that the other day. I gave her a copy of my book. And, you know, I told her, I said, this is my charge to the church of this is what we should be known for. This is what we should be marked by. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, as a Christ follower, I can't speak for people outside of our faith, but as a Christ follower, a book I read years ago, I think it was Spirit of the Disciplines, Richard Foster, but he talked about when you spend time with Jesus in your personal walk, in your devotional life, in your private worship, your scripture reading, your prayer, when you spend daily quality time with Jesus, when the rough times come, because they're going to come, we all go through rough times. We all go through shocks and surprises and things that take us by surprise and blindside us. But he said, when we are pressed and the rough times come, if we have been spending time with Jesus, what comes out of us naturally without having to fake or pretend or think about it should be the fruit of the Spirit. And so the more that we abide with Christ, the more that we spend time with Christ, the more that we become like Christ, you know, Christians mean little Christ, the more we become like Christ, the more we naturally ooze the fruit of the Spirit. And so we all struggle. I'm in that boat of trying, because we're all busy people. I'm very driven. I'm very ambitious. I have a lot to accomplish every day. But I remember years ago, somebody asking Billy Graham about his daily schedule, because Billy Graham was one of the busiest people to ever leave, speaking in so many countries, we lost count. And he made the most of every opportunity, but he started every day with 2 hours of devotion. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, as busy as you are, how can you spend the first 2 hours of your day in a devotional? And he said, how can I not? It's exactly because I am so busy that I must do this. And so when you abide in Christ and spend time with Christ, I think of that classic book by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence. You know, when you spend time with Christ, and I want to say, because I've said this on some other interviews, I'm not the kindness expert. I'm just an advocate and champion for it. Mm-hmm. I mess up just like anybody. I have bad days just like anybody. In the book, I talk about mental health issues and real life. And so this is a struggle for anybody who is a human being. So we are all here on earth together trying to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. But I will say what I learned from that book from Richard Foster years ago is it is easier when we have been abiding with Christ, spending time with Christ. And then when we're squeezed, when we're pressed, when we're shocked and surprised, what would come out of us would naturally be the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those would come out naturally when we have been spending time with Christ.
And I think in the world today, and COVID revealed this to us, that we're lacking in kindness. Rich Velotis calls it the time period of CPR, with COVID and the controversies there, the political elections and the racial injustice.
Yeah. And this was all written during that time.
Yeah. And so not just the world going at it, waging war, but those within the church turning against one another. And yeah, this message of kindness, I think, is something that really we need to reclaim again.
Absolutely. I wrote this book in light of 2020. We were done with COVID. mask or no mask, vaccine or no vaccine, George Floyd, stop Asian hate, all of that I talk about in the book. I have a chapter where I talk about racism. I talk about, I mentioned George Floyd, like all of this was going on through my mind when I wrote this book. And the book in no way is political. You know, our publisher, Invite Press, does not do political books, but it does talk about the realities of being an American living in America during 2020, and that we were not known for kindness. And what really fired me up, I was telling my mother-in-law this past weekend, is I was watching the news and they were referring to Christians as not being known for kind. And they were kind of mocking Christianity and mocking Christians because we were the opposite of what we're supposed to be known for and what Jesus taught. And even the media knows what Jesus taught and what Jesus was known for and for loving our neighbor. And we did not do a good job during COVID and beyond in loving our neighbor. And so in the book, I talk about the Great Commandment. And, you know, in that Great Commandment, I also talk about what I learned from Derwin Gray, who I know is on your podcast. Derwin would teach the Great Commandment by saying, love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. When I grew up, we would always say, love God and love others, love God and love others. Derwin includes the middle part of loving yourself. And so I mention him in the book. I mention compassion to yourself, kindness to yourself, and taking care of yourself, loving yourself so that you have the resources and energy to love others. If we don't properly love ourselves, we're not going to be able to properly love others.
That's such a good word. And, you know, perfect for us here on the Better Together podcast. We're trying to figure out how do you live better together? And kindness really is the power that allows us to do that. Greg, as we prepare to wrap up, one personal question I'm curious about. You've talked a lot about God's kindness and the impact of that on your life. And then another, a lot of other people you look up to who have taught a lot about kindness. Who personally in your own life has just impacted you with their kindness?
Yeah, I actually, in the beginning of the book and the acknowledgement page, the very first person I mention and acknowledge is my first mentor, Jerry Stepp, where I grew up. He took me under his wing. He took me on hospital visits, shut-in visits, nursing home visits. He trained me to be a minister when I was in high school. And he is the kindest man I know. He would always hug me. I still remember what his cologne smelled like because he was always hugging me. He was the kindest, most loving pastor and minister I've ever known. He's still doing well, just celebrated his 50th anniversary with his wife. But he changed my life and is the reason that I went on to study worship and religion and go into ministry in college. But when I started my first church as a freshman in college, he was the person I called and said, hey, they're asking me to be minister of music and youth. This wasn't my plan. I was going to graduate college, go to seminary, and then have my first church. And he said, Greg, you can do it. I believe in you. And he has modeled kindness to me. I do not in any way think of him as a weak person. I think of him as a strong person. But Jerry Stepp modeled kindness to me and changed my life.
That's amazing. Well, we all need Jerry's in our lives, and that's a good word for us. How can we be kind to those that are around us, whether it's a family member, a friend, a coworker, or somebody that God may be placing on our heart? Where can we find out more about the book if we want to order it today?
Yeah, so it's the title of the book, SecretPowerOfKindness.com. If you go to SecretPowerOfKindness.com, it'll take you directly to the book. And I would be honored for you to read it, hear my story, and then contact me and tell me what you thought.
Well, Greg, thank you for taking the time to write this book, to challenge us to live better together through the secret power of kindness. Thank you for joining us today. And friends, if this conversation has blessed you, we pray to encourage you to be kind to others, but perhaps there's someone on your heart to share it with as well. Someone perhaps who has challenged you and encouraged you to be kind in your own life. So enjoy. And until next time, remember, we are better together. God bless.